often we try to prevent ourselves from getting hurt by just not feeling the pain or by stuffing it down. That's how we deal with the fear in the future, the anticipatory anxiety that something bad's going to happen. But if we close ourselves off in that way, we can't feel the joy either.
Hi, I'm Alicia Michelle, and as a trained and certified Christian mindset coach, I've helped hundreds of Christian women discover brain science-based mindset tools to help them grow closer to God and break free from anxiety, perfectionism, people-pleasing, and feeling like they're never enough. The Christian Mindset Coach is the award-winning podcast that shows you how to use simple brain science principles and biblical truth to renew your mind for lasting confidence, joy, and peace. I'm so glad you're here. Grab a cozy spot and let's get started. Anxiety is at an all-time high and is a huge issue in our culture, even for Christians. As a former anxiety sufferer and a certified neuro coach that's worked with hundreds of women, I've learned that we need a practical plan based on proven mindset tools to get God's calming truth into our thoughts. If you're ready to break free from worry and anxiety, check out the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit at calmyouranxietytoolkit.com. This incredible resource includes a Bible study, teaching videos, and everything you need to create a Bible and brain-based plan to lower your anxiety and enjoy God's peace. Get it now at calmyouranxietytoolkit.com. Hey, welcome to today's episode of the Christian Mindset Coach with me, Alicia Michelle. We are talking today about the very common mindset issue of anticipatory anxiety. Now, what does that even mean? We're going to define that today in the episode, and we're going to give you a glimpse into what others think about this concept of anticipatory anxiety by sharing a little bit from inside one of the sessions in the Christian Mindset Makeover where this topic came up. One of my clients was sharing about this, and we walked her through how she could work through that and find a different way to look at the situation. So first, I want to explain a little bit about what is anticipatory anxiety to kind of give us a framework for the time today and share a few quotes and ideas with you. We're going to share this conversation from the makeover, and then I'll have a few final thoughts. But just first wanted to say that this concept is something truly, if you struggle with anxiety, I'm almost guaranteeing that you're struggling with all the time, because it's this idea that there is something in the future that's going to happen to threaten the happiness you feel right now, that there is a bad thing that is coming. So don't get too excited about what's going on right now. Don't get your hopes up. Don't let the other shoe fall without you being aware of it, so to speak. Now, the American Psychological Association defines anticipatory anxiety as worry or apprehension about an upcoming event or situation because of the possibility of a negative outcome, such as danger, misfortune, or adverse judgment by others. The worry or apprehension is often accompanied by somatic systems of tension. So, kind of a big word definition for that, but I wanted you to hear the official definition. It's this idea that, again, there is something bad that's going to happen. And so we try to prepare ourselves mentally by predicting the outcome. It's something that we maybe have learned to do as a way to cope with the pressures. But the problem is that it really does keep us in a sense of hopelessness. It's really hard to feel hope and to feel that things could be different and to live with that kind of a mindset when we have these nagging mindsets of, well, don't get too used to this because you remember when this happened. So the answer isn't just to try to shoot ourselves down when we have these thoughts of where we see ourselves trying to protect ourselves. You will see that the answer really comes from a very unlikely source. And I'm going to save that to the end, and we'll probably cover a little bit of it in the conversation in the Mindset Makeover that you'll be hearing. But some other ways that people describe this is the overwhelming fear that an upcoming event may go wrong or may get out of your control, a fear or a worry that bad things could happen in the future. Somebody described it as bleeding before you are cut, anxiety about anxiety. And it's not necessarily a medical condition in itself. It's often classified as a generalized anxiety disorder, but it can be related to a specific phobia or trigger, and it can be related to social anxiety. These are things that we see showing up around it. I am not a licensed marriage family therapist, and I am not a psychologist, so I can't speak to that side of it. I just know that as a former anxiety struggler, somebody who has battled anxiety her whole life, somebody who works with women every day who struggle with anxiety, I know the signs. I feel the signs in my body. I see the signs in others, and I know that there's hope. God offers a way for us
to think of things differently, for us to work through these emotions when they come up. And in fact, they can be invitations to a deeper, fuller experience with Him. I wanted to share some ideas here from Dare to Lead, which is a great book by Brené Brown. It's specifically written for business leaders, so it's not necessarily for people who don't work in business, but she's got a lot of great insights there on all kinds of aspects of personality and the idea of vulnerability and shame. Brené's kind of known for that if you haven't heard of her work before. But she mentions in this quote that I'm going to share, this idea that if we cut ourselves off from potential hurt, then we really cut ourselves off from living, because often we try to prevent ourselves from getting hurt by just not feeling the pain or by stuffing it down. That's how we deal with the fear in the future, the anticipatory anxiety that something bad's going to happen. But if we close ourselves off in that way, we can't feel the joy either. We're just going to feel nothing, and that's not living. So here's what she says from Dare to Lead. Why do we insist on dress rehearsing tragedy in moments of deep joy? Because joy is the most vulnerable emotion we feel. When we feel joy, it's beauty and fragility and deep gratitude and impermanence all wrapped up in one experience. When we can't tolerate that level of vulnerability, joy becomes foreboding and we immediately move to self-protection. It's as if we grab vulnerability by the shoulders and we say, you will not catch me off guard. You will not sucker punch me with pain. I will be prepared and ready for you. So when something joyful happens, we start planning for hurt. We start planning to deal with the fear of disappointment. Is this helpful? Of course not. There's no planning for painful moments. People who have lived through them tell us that there is no amount of planning or catastrophizing that would have prepared them. The collateral damage of this instinct is that we squander the joy we need to build up an emotional reserve, the joy that allows us to build up resilience for when tragic things do happen. Excuse me, those last few sentences are what I'm going to focus on at the end too, because it's really the collateral damage from this isn't just the lack of emotion that we can feel in the moment and the robbing that comes then. It's that we aren't able to prepare ourselves in the ways we really do need to prepare ourselves for what may be coming ahead. All right. So let's get to that conversation from Inside the Christian Mindset Makeover with the ladies around this topic of waiting for the other shoe to drop, this anticipatory anxiety topic.
Sometimes what I'm realizing has been whenever there's something good in my life, sometimes, you know, in that recognition that, oh no, what if I lose this? Like mm-hmm. I often will like then fast forward ahead to that possible reality. And then that makes me anxious in the moment. So it's kind mm-hmm. of like strange in a way, but it's kind of like almost like I'm beating it to the punch.
Yes.
I'm acting as though like, okay, I have this good thing. I'm kind of acting as though I've already lost it. Out of fear of losing it, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yes.
And so then instead of something good happening, causing me to feel happy, it actually caused me to feel anxious. And I know it sounds mm-hmm. strange.
No, it doesn't.
In light of that, all of that reality, like how do we not fear losing a good thing when we have it? Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, how do we get out of like feeling automatic anxiety when having a good thing? And like, you know, mm-hmm. embracing and giving thanks for a good thing and having an open palm posture of surrender without that fear of like, yeah, you know, intense fear of the possibility of losing it. You know what I'm saying? Like to the point where you can't even enjoy it.
That's a great question. And it's extremely common. If from what you've learned so far in the course, how would you answer your question? So why do you think that there is that fear that comes up? You said fear of what if I lose this?
Yeah. It's almost kind of like my way of, this is going to sound strange, but it's almost like my way of securing it. If that makes sense, it's like, oh, like worrying as a way of buying it, if that makes sense, or earning it through worrying. It's like, oh, if I worry enough, then it's almost like, it's a strange thing of like, you know, I was trying to like dig into it a little bit and like see, it's a way of almost like taking it, what Christ did like on the cross. He bought our peace, he bought our joy. Yeah. But sometimes I try to rebuy it with worry. Do you know what I mean?
Whenever when you're saying you're rebuying it or you're earning it with worry, what is the worry giving you?
It's like insurance or like a payment. It's like, oh, look, I worried about this. So therefore, you know, that's
therefore what? Of it. How could you finish that?
Therefore, that's going to protect me from suffering. And it sounds so strange. It doesn't make sense. And I know it's silly, but I just
it's okay. It makes sense because your brain is doing that for a reason. It's protecting you. So you're saying, if I worry about it enough, then I feel safe to move forward. So what are you doing when you're worrying?
Maybe if I worry about losing it, that'll prevent me from losing it.
Is it like you have a plan then of what to do? Mm-hmm. Like if I worry about it, then I can think through all the bad things so that if it comes up, then I know that's mm-hmm. the comfort. Like I got a plan moving forward.
Kind of like a protection. It's like, oh, look, mm-hmm. God, you see, I worried about this and, you know, life has a lot of suffering. So I'll choose what suffering I want. And the suffering I choose is the anxiety. Look, I'm having anxiety about this. So I've suffered. So whatever suffering was going to come doesn't have to come. And it makes no sense. It's so strange, but it's like,
trying to embrace suffering. That's interesting. So like, if I do this, then I won't have suffering.
Yeah.
Okay, but ultimately, coming up with a plan or whether it's about saying, here, God, let me just take the suffering now so you don't have to give it to me later. What is the underneath thing that you're trying to do with the worry?
I'm trying to control suffering in a way.
Bingo. Yes, you're trying to control suffering. Why does that make sense?
It doesn't make any sense.
It's you don't think it makes sense? No. Think about it. I'm going to push you back on this because why would your very smart brain do that, Stacey?
It's trying to keep me safe.
Maybe. Yes. It's not silly that it's doing that. It's trying to keep you safe and it's being very smart. So this is how it is learned. I keep you safe by worrying because then I have a plan. Then I've done my suffering bit. So I'm curious when that happens, have there been times when God has allowed that thing to be taken away or the shoe to fall? And there's that resentment that comes in. Like, God, like I did the suffering. I came up with a plan. This isn't how it's supposed to work. Like, is there that anger that comes in too?
Yeah. And I like how you put it as for letting that as the other shoe falling, because that's what it is. It's like, you know, like whenever good things happen, like that term that people use, it's like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yes, exactly.
So basically I've been like, whenever good things happen, I wait for the other shoe to drop, but I kind of like have that anxiety and I'm like, oh, look, my anxiety can prevent the shoe from dropping. So it's kind of like, look, I'm anxious enough. I can keep the shoe up.
It's been the comforting way to help you move forward. So it makes sense from the brain's perspective. It's annoying as heck for you because you're like, why can't I just enjoy this? Why do I have to jump to that? But you have to understand that that part of your brain is always wired and designed. It's wired and designed to protect you and to keep you safe. And you've reinforced that by continuing when that situation comes up, like there's that repetition pattern set up in your brain to be like, when this comes up, oh, this is how we're going to deal with it. How has it been effective in the past?
It hasn't been. It's just caused, like, it just prevents me from being able to, like, enjoy, like, a good thing in the moment.
Do anxious thoughts and what ifs consume your mind and steal your peace? God tells us to be anxious for nothing, but you wonder, how does that happen? What if you had a custom plan for managing your anxiety? One that was designed for your anxiety triggers with specific, scientifically proven action steps based on brain science to manage worry, both in the moment and for the long term. I want to help you create your custom plan for managing anxious thoughts with the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit, the 4-week anxiety Bible study, mindset training, and resources that equip Christian women with a step-by-step plan to use brain science and the Bible together to welcome God's healing power over worry and fear. Listen, I struggled with anxiety most of my life, even as a Christian. I finally found lasting peace and victory over anxiety when I created a plan to manage my anxiety that used proven tools to get God's truth into my thoughts. I want to help you create your plan to manage anxiety and discover more calm. Go to calmyouranxietytoolkit.com to learn more and to get started. Again, that's calmyouranxietytoolkit.com.
Okay. Wise Stacy on the outside, yes, sees it as annoying and not nice and not great. But what has it helped your brain do? Again, how has it been effective for your brain?
Probably like to have a sense of control, although it's not really control. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's that too, right? Like it's doing something. At this moment, I live in Southern California. There could be an earthquake that destroys my house. I can do nothing about that. At this moment, I have 3 kids in different schools. There could be a shooter that comes in and kills all of them. Worry is a way, it's a coping mechanism, one coping mechanism for us to deal with that. And it helps us feel like we have this false sense of control. But ultimately, The very scary thing is we have no idea what's ahead. And so the question I would ask you is, when you're thinking about all of this, how might this relate for you to the idea of ultimately that need to be able to let God be in control and to trust him, to trust God?
Yeah, I think that is what it is. It's like, I'm trying to like trust myself almost. It's like, oh God, I don't know if you're, I don't know. It's like, I know God is good in my head, but then like sometimes when I'm in those worried patterns, it's like, oh God, I know you're good, but
yeah,
I want to, you know, control this just in case. You know, I know it's.
Yeah. That's again, so natural and normal and human. And yet that's the ultimate call that God is saying that, do you trust me enough to recognize that there are some things you have zero control over? And it's normal for your brain to react that way, right? We're going to work through brain priming to help it not react that way. And part of that will be acknowledging, hey, it's not crazy for me to feel like this because this is how God made our brains. And this is the pattern that I've set up. At the same time, it's not true that by doing this, I can help myself. I read a book once where she talked about this concept and she said, this is not a Christian writer, but she had said, almost like you need to tell that inner voice, I know what you're saying, I get it. But she said, I got this and I'm going to think of it in a different way. So it's all, but as Christians, we can say, I get why you've done this and I understand why the pattern is there, but God is here. God is trustworthy. He's got this. I don't have to know it. It's okay. It's really okay. Calming it down with that knowledge that he's here, he's trustworthy. And as scary as that is, like ultimately that's where we have to get to in order to move past that. And, you know, fixing the patterns and stuff like that with brain priming helps. But how did learning about surrender and taking responsibility for what's ours to take control of and letting go of what's not ours, that's week four. How did that information or what you learned there, how could that help you with what we're talking about now with the worry and the instant the shoe's going to drop?
That is something that I was working through with that, one of those worksheets, that surrender and responsibility worksheet.
Yeah.
So like the responsibility in this case for me is not to control the future. I can't, you know, it's like let go of it. And like surrender for me would be the worry. Surrender that to God, like giving God, like, I guess, like releasing that to God, letting him have that God's responsibility, not mine. Kind of like that thing you were saying where God begins and where I end.
Right.
And giving him his place, which is, okay, he's in control of the future. He's in control of like whatever suffering comes to me. And like my place is to trust.
Hearing that, yeah, like what you just said, it's not easy to do. So hearing that is one thing to say it. What gives you pause in really believing it?
I guess sometimes maybe looking at some of the suffering that I've been through, or like,
you know, yeah,
the other people that I care about or hear about, you know, have been through.
Yeah.
You know, like, just kind of like makes me scared. It's like, oh no, what if that happens to me?
Right.
Like, things that have happened to me. It's like, oh no, what if, you know, God,
exactly,
that's something else that happened. You know what I mean? So those types of things. And it's like, it's not, I know it's not encouraging to say those things, but that's something.
No, but that's the truth. Yeah. That's what you're saying. So what we just did, and again, informally, kind of naturally, was ADD. So like we acknowledged why it made sense. We started talking about some of the truth, but what's true, that God is in control. But I sensed that you weren't really, you know, the answer, but it's like, I'm still holding on to needing to accept it. So then we went back to acknowledgement, kind of like, why would you be afraid to trust God? Like, let's be real. And what you shared is 100% true. We have no idea what God will do. That's the scariest thing about God. We have no idea how he will respond in a situation. We do know his character. That is what we can lean on and what we can trust. As C.S. Lewis says, he's a lion, but he's not a tame lion, right? We know who, what he's like, but we can't predict. That's what makes him God. That's why he's not a God in our pocket. Is it easier to see how, like, it makes sense while you're feeling like this, that it's okay? That it really is your beautiful brain trying to protect you and keep you safe. And that God is perhaps inviting you into a different way that's not necessarily about like telling you you're bad for feeling like this, but helping you see his compassion for understanding why you're there and helping you move towards trusting and loving And I don't know what that journey is like for you, what you need to do to be able to trust God more and love. It might be wrestling with some things in your own past. Like you said, other people that you've seen where you're like, I'm not sure if this is your situation, but like, you know, why would you let my mom die when I was so young? Why did you let my kid yell at me like that when I've done nothing but be nice to him? Or why did you let me lose my job when I've given a stellar performance? Why would you allow that to happen? And those are very real human questions that we have to wrestle with before God. So all the work that we're doing is not about just superficial, well, just believe that God loves you and trust him, right? It really does. This is why it's wrestling. It's getting to underneath why we are fearful, why we are concerned and not wanting to trust.
I wonder if you can relate to that story. I love how honest she was. I love how concerned she was about having this fear. And I think one of the biggest things that we do sometimes is we think that we're alone in this. We think that we're the only ones who believe these things. And we get so angry at ourselves because we think, well, why can't I just be different? Why can't I just think differently? When the answer really starts by understanding what is the benefit for it, because we are smart women. We know how to respond from a logical standpoint, but we often find ourselves responding from our emotions, which is fine because we're emotional and intellectual beings. But we need to understand if we're responding from our emotions in a way that isn't in line or honoring God's truth, then we need to say, that's interesting. I wonder why I'm doing that. Why is my brain responding in this way? That's not how I want to respond. We have to first acknowledge and recognize it. We have to acknowledge that the suffering that we're afraid of, we have very good reasons for it, and that it makes sense that our brain would try to protect us in this way, whether it's been a habit that we've developed, whether it's something we've seen modeled growing up, whether it's just something we do as part of our personality, that we can say, yeah, I see this. I recognize that it makes sense why I do this. And one of the ways that we can help ourselves is by acknowledging it, but then finding in the moment these phrases that we can tell ourselves that are helpful to just position us and switch us out of there. And we started working through some of that in that conversation that you heard. But even if we can boil it down to something simpler, I was working with a client about an hour ago before I got on this recording, and we were talking through this very issue about some anxiety that she was struggling with. And she was saying that it felt like this anticipatory anxiety was really related to very random situations. And so she felt like one of the best things she could do was to have almost a general statement, because they were random situations, it felt like, but they all really boiled down to this issue of control and understanding that what she was trying to do through the anxiety was try to control the situation and to make herself feel safe, but that in reality, she wasn't going to be able to do that. So she came up with something similar to this, which was like, God, this is bigger than I can handle. I can't prevent it or I can't control it. So I'm releasing this to your care. So if this is something that you struggle with, I want to give you a couple of action steps. First of all, how can you give yourself compassion and empathy as to why you struggle with this, like we just talked about? What might be something in the moment you can tell yourself to work through it? And then I want to give you two practical resources. The first one is the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit. This is a resource that I've created to help you create a plan so you know exactly what you can do in those moments. So we don't always have every second to stop and to journal and to do all the things, but there are a lot of little things that we can do, whether that's taking a deep breath, whether that's coming up with a phrase like this, lots of different things that are preventative kind of mindset stuff to help us with anxiety and stuff that we can do in the moment. And that's what the Calm Your Anxiety Toolkit does, is it helps you really understand some of the reasons behind your anxiety and helps you understand, well, what is the issue that I'm trying to control or to get to by acting in this way? And how can I get that in a different way? How can I help my brain receive the comfort it needs and the things that it needs, the release that it needs in a way that's healthier? And so that's what it helps you figure out. And then it helps you create that plan step by step using all these different tools and ideas so that you know what to do. You know how to handle it when the situation comes up. So you can find out more about that at calmyouranxietytoolkit.com. Or if you're feeling like, I know I struggle with these thought patterns, I struggle with a lot of people pleasing as related to my anxiety. I struggle with needing to be perfect. I know that there's some deeper issues even below this anxiety that I'm dealing with and that I would really love some one-on-one help with. That's where the Christian Mindset Makeover is awesome, because it allows you to go through this systematic 9-week course where we walk through all of these different issues and help us understand, why does our brain do this and how can we break free from them? We end up creating something called a brain priming that literally addresses your specific thought patterns that are causing you to react and act in things like perfectionism. And what's causing you to do that? We change it from the inside out using this very specific neurological process. And we also give you all kinds of other tools to help you know how to protect your emotions, protect yourself from going up and down, to protect yourself with boundaries from other people who may be negative, just all kinds of stuff. Help your health, how your health can support you with your mindset. It's a very powerful course. And through it all, there is live support for me. Like you heard, we have these calls called Ask Me Anything calls twice a month, where you can ask me any question and we can go back and forth, just like we did with Stacey, getting your question answered, helping you work through that. I want to give you the results that you want. I want to help you get breakthrough and transformation. And this is the way to do it. So you can learn more about the Christian Mindset Makeover at vibrantchristianliving.com/mindset-makeover. Or if you can't remember all these different URLs, just go to vibrantchristianliving.com. At the menu on top there, you'll see the information about the anxiety toolkit and also about the mindset makeover. Friend, this was an interesting topic to explore, I think, as something that we all struggle with, whether we have been diagnosed, so to speak, with an anxiety disorder, or it's just a habit that we've created. And I hope that it gave you some great new insight and some practical strategies to move forward. All right. I will see you back here next week for next week's episode. Take care, friend. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me today for the Christian Mindset Coach. If you loved today's show, would you take 2 seconds and share a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts? I've got a special gift for you when you share a review, my amazing 50 I Am declarations, 50 statements and Bible verses about who you are in Christ. This is an audio meditation and a written statement that is extremely popular with my clients, and I want to give you access just for sharing your Apple Podcast review. Simply screenshot your review and send it to hello@vibrantchristianliving.com, and we'll send you the link to access the 50 I Am Declarations resource. Thanks so much for sharing your rating and review so that we can get the word out about the podcast. See you back here next week.